The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Mangan, and I'm joined by Star Sport reporter Sean Hollins. And this week, we're focusing on the big game as Cork travel to Killarney to face Kerry in the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final. We'll have former Cork footballer John Hayes on the show today to talk about the Rebels' chances. But first, the Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose credit union, choose local, choose community. Now, Sean, the build-up to a Cork-Kerry game is always fascinating to me because I think in recent years, obviously, Kerry have had the better of Cork. So we tend to have this narrative that Cork go into any game against Kerry kind of hoping they can run them close rather than expecting to run them close or even beat them. Is that the case again this week? How's the build-up been?
Yeah, Dylan, it's kind of the same old story, really, all right? I think we're all nearly blue in the face from hearing about 1995, the last time Cork won down in Killarney. But it's kind of an interesting one. Cork, they're pretty much 99% sure that they'll be in the Sam Maguire, although this win this weekend would confirm it getting into provincial final. But they'll have to wait on a couple of other results to see where they stand. But they would like to obviously get the result down in Killarney and get into provincial final. But on the other side of it, a good performance is what a lot will be looking for as well, to run Kerry close. Kerry have pretty much demolished Cork every time we've gone down there. That's kind of what you were alluding to as well, and about pushing him close, nearly being a good performance and a good outcome. But they'll find it very tough. Although they have been improving in the last few weeks, ever since they went in that the training camp abroad, there's been a big improvement in their results and performances. So after the game against Limerick, they'll be looking at this really as pretty much a free shot, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out on Saturday.
You mentioned a free shot. How much does that kind of affect the mindset of the players going in? Do you know if we're talking kind of in recent years about the minimum here being kind of running Kerry close, let's say. The last 10 championship meetings, Gaelic Statsman was sharing on Twitter, 8 Kerry wins, 1 draw, 1 Cork win, and the average winning margin to Kerry was 8.2 points. So that's like a big average margin to be losing kind of every year. And will the mindset for the players be that absolutely can't happen, obviously, and how will they be kind of trying to refocus going in when the history kind of shows us that it has been the same story for a little while now?
Well, there's like you could look at it in two ways. You could look at the positive side, saying they can take the shackles off. Everyone's expecting Kerry to win, so if they come away with a loss, it's not the end of the world. So there's that side of it that the players can play with freedom and know that whatever comes out of it, Kerry were always predicted to win this. But the other side of it then is, if they do get close to Kerry towards the end of the game, will they be that mental block? Will they be that, kind of anxiousness, say if they're level with 70 minutes gone, who's going to kick the point that'll get Cork over the line in Killarney for the last time in 30 years? So you can look at it in both ways, but even speaking with John, he's just concentrating on himself and his own team's performance. Really, that's all they can do, But the last two times they've gone down to Killarney, and it was like 11 points and then 22 points then in 2021. So they'll definitely be looking to push them close. Of course, every team that goes out has an intention of winning, and Cork should be no different. You know, it's pretty much time to, you know, to buck the trend and move on in Munster and try and dethrone the kingdom.
Yeah, and just before we hear from John Hayes, who is great chat with him about the upcoming game and where Cork could kind of find joy against Kerry, John Cleary was talking this week about how the provincial structure isn't quite working. In this week's Southern Star, you can read all about it. But I just want to know, the fact that Cork don't know whether they'll be in Sam Maguire or the Tailteann Cup, how big of an effect do you think that might have on a game like this? And should they know before they go into a game like this whether or not they're in that competition, or how do you think that should work?
Well, the benefit of Cork's performances after, you know, their three opening losses does take away a little bit of that pressure because of their league standing. It'll be very unlikely that they get pushed down to the Tailteann Cup. You know, the likes of Offaly there might have to beat Dublin, or the likes of Sligo going to a provincial final are down. You know, so they're playing Armagh. So it's kind of looking at a way that pretty much the probability of Cork getting into the Sam Maguire is 99%. Now, if they didn't get those positive results in the league and they'd be there on the bubble, it would be a lot different story, you know, and Cork would be kind of almost as even more anxious going down to Kerry, and that might work, you know, to their disadvantage. But the fact that, you know, things would have to go very off kilter to push them down to the Tailteann Cup won't make that much big of a difference. But even talking to John and his views on it and the provincial championships, he, like many other managers, would prefer to see them played prior to the league, that once you finish the league, you know what competition you'll be in and you can see the sense in that. But then there's always counter arguments, and you look at provincial councils, do they want their, you know, featured tournament being played, you know, in muddy, wet pitches in mid to early February, you know, and kind of almost losing their appeal as well. So there's twos and fours for it. But the fact that the Tailteann Cup has been brought in now with the Sam Maguire, you can see that league has a lot more importance than provincial championships. And you notice it even with the build-up of these certain championships as well. Like the Munster hurling stands on its own, but the Munster football is, it doesn't really come within a breath of it. So it's interesting what the GAA will do in the future. I know Jarla Burns came out during the week and he spoke about maybe moving All-Ireland finals back to September. But then again, the other counter argument to that is the fact that you're intruding into the club game, and you know, 95% of players are just involved in club alone. So you've got to look after them first and foremost and have them playing on the hard ground in the summer championships. But, you know, it's a sticky one, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, there's a lot of different strands to it. So a lot for Jarlath Burns to look into there. And I'm sure we'll be talking all about it. As we always seem to be with the GAA, we're always talking about structures and leagues and championships and how they're all set up. So that conversation will continue. Cork play Kerry this Saturday in Fitzgerald Stadium at 4 p.m. It is a big game, despite the kind of, I guess, low-key build-up. But we're going to hear from John Hayes now, who will share how he thinks Cork can get the better of Kerry.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined by former Cork senior footballer, Ross Carberry's John Hayes. John, how's the form?
Not too bad, Sean. How are you?
Good, bye. Good. Listen, we'll get straight into it. And obviously, the big one is this Saturday, Cork and Kerry in the Munster senior football semi-final. Straight up, give us your initial thoughts heading into the big game on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I suppose the recent results against Kerry, apart from the COVID game with Markeen and Parky Keeve, have been poor, especially in Killarney of recent times. I suppose the most recent one, kind of had direct involvement in 2021, like, you know, it was a game that started so well but deteriorated so badly for us. You know, it's kind of it left a bad mark for us, I suppose, at the time. since then, I guess they played with the game in Parky Ring, which, you know, Cork were very competitive for a long time, but Kerry pulled away in the last 15, 20 minutes and ended up winning by 12. Last year again, much more competitive, brought it back, ended up only losing by 2 points, gave him a good game. But, you know, I think the round robin games have, I think nearly everything has a kind of a sense of maybe a little bit of a phony war until you get to the knockout games in Croke Park and that kind of thing at this stage. But, you know, I suppose this one is kind of, you know, it's a traditional Munster final. Cork and down to Killarney earlier in the year than we would normally associate it with. But, no, travelling probably obviously more in hope than expectation again. But, yeah, look, I thought Cork, you know, didn't really play very well against Limerick. I think most people will accept that. And maybe it's not a bad position to be in. You know, we're written off, we're given no chance. But you know, there's decent quality in that side, obviously going down to play a very, very strong Kerry team. But we're just hoping they can really go out, perform, and get close to Kerry and keep it in the mix until the latter stages. And, you know, if we can manage to spring off a massive shock, we'll be thrilled with it.
Mm-hmm. It would be something else. We're kind of touching there, John. You even mentioned yourself there about being involved, you know, as a selector a couple of years ago. But give us a few of your memories of being involved with the team itself, down through the years and heading down to Killarney.
Yeah. Like, it was a funny one, I suppose. My experience against Kerry, the first one was a minor game, a Munster final in Fitzgerald Stadium, and we didn't play all that great. I think we lost by 5 or 6 points. Brian Sheehan was midfield for Kerry, was probably their main player at the time. We had a pretty good team, but didn't play all that well on the day. So we ended up losing that game in the minor. And then for 3 years at under 21, you know, we got a win in Tralee. We got a draw in Killarney before winning games in Cork. So we never lost at under 21. So I suppose, like, my experience of going up towards senior and playing Kerry teams in Kerry wasn't that bad, but unfortunately we never managed to get over the line in any of the senior games that we had down there. I suppose particularly in Munster, we were always competitive. We were very competitive at the time. I think we draw in 06, narrow defeat in 07. We could draw again in 09, if I remember correctly, and maybe even 10. I think there was 4 draws that I noted there when I was going back over it, including 2015 as well. So you know, it's one that kind of probably sticks with us a lot, that we never managed to convert one of those into a win. And I think we all know it's 1995 since we last won down there, when Cork were, you know, off the back of a really good run. And I don't think many would have foreseen that we'd be here, you know, nearly 30 years later, waiting for the next one. And I suppose, you know, the group that I was involved in were certainly, or the two groups I was involved in were certainly as close as we've been to getting it done, but without getting it done.
Mm-hmm. And do you reckon it was more of a mental block or anything? Because those teams, even you alluded to there, you know, late noughties there, there was a great Cork football team that you were involved in, you know, had full ability to go down there. I know there was late equalisers there, you know, in a couple of years you mentioned, but is there something about Killarney that there's just kind of a mental block there for the Cork footballers? It was just kind of like rotten luck.
I didn't think so really when I was. I didn't think so when I was involved. Maybe it has built up a little bit now because it's been so long. I think at the time we would have felt we were more than capable of matching them, and you know, could and should have got the results at different times. But we put ourselves into positions to do it, I suppose. Like, I suppose we'd probably be more justified to say the mental block was a little bit more to do with Croke Park and, you know, the non-performances that we had up there and different times. You know, so I think that was the big one. I think Killarney didn't hold fear for us, I would say. But look, it's just that you're going down to play a very, very good football team on their home patch. And they take, you know, great pride in their record in Killarney and their record against Cork. And I think in recent years as well, I mean, there's nothing they enjoy more than when they have us down to just keep driving at home and driving at home, you know, more than any other team, they'll put the foot down on Cork. So we've been in unfortunately, on the receiving end of that in recent years. But yeah, no, I felt at the time we always looked forward to going to Killarney. We were competitive the Munster Championship. We were perfectly competitive. As I said, it was probably more, you know, the disappointing performances in Croke Park that kind of hung over us more than, say, you know, not being able to challenge them down in Killarney.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope they get the job done this Saturday night. But looking forward to the match itself, John, when you wrote your column, you kind of zoned in on a few areas that you reckon Cork have to target. The next day, you made note of the midfield battle and, of course, scoring goals. That was obviously the big talking point after the Limerick game and their wastefulness in front of the goal. So do you reckon that John will have a big emphasis on those areas now going to training this week and ahead of Saturday?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think an area where they've really hurt us has been the kick out and midfield. They've really just pushed us. That game in Killarney was one of the first games that you'd ever seen a Kerry team push with 15 players, including the goalkeeper, to block off space. They pretty much had three lines of five, give or take, that day, you know. Their last line would have been along the kind of 65-ish, you know, at the extent of what they would have considered Michal's kick-out range, and then two other lines of five pushing in high so that he couldn't get anything really off short, and then five guys covering the space in behind and in between the two and waiting on breaks. So they went hard after the kick-out that time, and, you know, they do tend to, like I said, target Ian, and Ian in particular, I think, has been targeted by Kerry down the years because they know, you know, he's a bit of a talisman for Cork, and that if he can, you know, win a few kickouts and get his running game going, that it tends to pick up the team. So I think they've gone after him hard. So, you know, no more than anyone else, Ian won't have fond memories of that game and a couple more. So I'm hoping that you know, he can have a big performance in that column. Can kick on from the very good performances that he had during the league. They're going to have to, because I can foresee as well Kerry going hard after the short kick out, whether it's Michal or whether it's Chris in goal. You know, if a team is pushing that hard, if they're pushing 5-5-5, then it's very, very difficult to get anything off short. So you're reliant on winning clean ball long. The upside of it was, if you could win anything and could win a break, I mean, you've got a wide open chance to punish them at the other end. So, it's an area, the kick out of midfield, that we'll be watching with interest, because if we can get more joy there than we have done at other times in Killarney, you know, it sets us on a way to being a lot more competitive. And then the conversion and chances, I mean, I think everyone's blue in the face from talking about that in relation to the Cork football team this year. Like I said, you know, on the positive side, you're creating chances, and you'd rather be missing chances than not creating chances whatsoever. But it is starting to become a little bit of a concern that we're coughing up chances so often. You know, you'd expect this after, you know, if you've gone two or three games, you're making goal chances. You'd expect, with the quality of players that we have inside, that they'll start to rectify it and put them away. But I thought against Limerick was possibly, despite the three goals, because two of those came very late, despite the three goals, it was probably as wasteful as we've seen in any game. You know, there was four possible goal chances in the first 20 minutes, I think, and then five or six in the first half overall, another five or six in the second half. And like, even if you think about it, Rory Dean's goal came from a rebound of another missed goal chance, and there was one or two as well where the last pass went astray when it was easier to make the pass than to miss it. So, yeah, I think the players will be aware. Converting those chances comes down to a few things. It comes down mainly to kind of composure in that moment, and that's what we need to add to the game. You know, when you miss a lot of chances, it starts to bring a bit of anxiety into your finishing and into your play in the scoring area as well. Like, so a little bit more composure when we get across that 45 and win, the chances are there, because our running game does cause trouble for teams. So, you know, if we can create those chances again the next day, some composure and a little bit of quality, and we're going to need to, because if we create two or three goal chances the next day. We need to stick those away.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned it there, the running game is a threat. But also, even the first goal against Limerick the last day came from kind of a high turnover with Chris Oak-Jones, just kind of like holding on inside. Do you reckon they'll employ a tactic similar to that now against Kerry, or will it be kind of 15 men behind the ball?
I think for the most part, it'll probably be 15 behind. But I do, and I would like, if I was involved in certain teams, at times I'd like to encourage players to just say, if you see him, if you think he's taken off, if you think your man is taken off and he's just taken off to take you out of position and he's actually not a threat and that we've got enough numbers back and they can control the opposition already with the numbers that they have back, just hold it and try and see what pressure can be brought on by the players that are already behind. And then if you can affect the turnover, and you've got a target. And Chris Oak did it a couple of times the last day. He was just jogging back into position after that. It was a really poor turnover from the Limerick guy, the wing back for Limerick, which you wouldn't expect out of Kerry, but we got the turnover and ended up with a 1v1 inside. We had other opportunities to do the same thing, which we kind of didn't capitalize on. I think in one of the other league games, I remember watching Conor Corbett, and it was like one of those ones. He could see we were comfortable behind. We were holding out. I think it was Kildare game, and we were holding them out. And Connor was kind of up around the 45 inside, and he had one or two guys for company. And you could see him going, do I need to go back? But he trotted back. He trotted back to get into that position, and then we actually got the turnover, and he ended up turning and sprinting, and he had to sprint 60 odd yards to try and get back to full forward to where he was in the first place, where he could have received a pass in a dangerous position. So I do think you see it with a lot of the better teams. You obviously see with Clifford, he doesn't go back every time. He will go back from time to time, and he will put in his tackles, but there are times when he'll just hold forward. Shane McGuigan might do the same. Daniel Flynn in that Kildare game did the same a few times. I was watching in the Derry game in the Armagh game, Rian O'Neill was trying to do it when he wasn't too effective on the same day. But those kind of forwards, they almost dare you to leave them unmarked inside to see, because if 15 forward players tear forward, fine, but if there's 14 back there already, it's crowded and you can defend that effectively, and then all it is one kick pass and you might be away and in the chance, and then they won't be so quick to go a second time as well. So I do hope that the inside trio can stay close to goal a little bit more than we've seen at other times, and try and expose potential counterattacks in that way, as opposed to being 15 behind the ball every single time.
Mm-hmm. And just as kind of like on that, the fact that, we're picking up on it, I'd imagine Jack O'Connor will probably be annoying it, because as he was the example there, Chris Oak against Limerick, and there was another opportunity he had against Armagh, which was very similar, and he tried to lob the keeper and just pull over the bar. So one would think that Kerry have the ability, to kick points all day, but the one wariness they'll probably have a Cork is converting those goal chances. So could you see maybe the Kerry cornerbacks maybe holding a bit deeper, not getting involved and just being wary of that? I'd imagine they just have a keen eye on one or two of the lads dropping off the defensive 15.
I suppose in everything now in football, it's a 15 man game, and everyone will go forward at some stage. Fitness levels are impressive, so everyone will go forward, whether it's Thomas Sullivan starts or Graham O'Sullivan. Not sure. There seems to be some talk that there'll be a decision between Paul Murphy and Dylan Casey. They might be the more defensively minded one then, that might sit and hold things. Tyke Morley does that to an extent, but everyone when the opportunity presents goes forward. So I'm sure they'll be given the encouragement to do that. But then Kerry always kind of in these games are kind of looking down the road as well. They're always looking down the road to what's going to happen in Croke Park in later times. And, will they leave a Conor Callaghan or someone like that, totally exposed high up the field? So I think they might. They'll probably tend to pull one or two back deep generally all the time. But I think that person will rotate quite a bit, even if maybe it's Tyke Morley and or Murphy or Casey, whoever might get the nod. But yeah, Thomas Sullivan, we know, loves to get forward. Gavin White does it, and whoever else will be involved. But it's like I said, I think it takes just a bit of nerve if you are one of those forwards, and you know, the management obviously have to kind of, you know, give you the blessing to kind of do it as well. But if you can say, look, I'm just going to hold here, the guys have this covered, and hope to try and get a quick counter and get one away and punish it once, and it puts a lot of doubt into the opposition minds then after that.
Mm-hmm, of course. And moving on then, John, in terms of looking at what the message will be, you know, from Cleary and the selectors, obviously you were involved back there in 2021. So say if you were to go out there now to the lads speaking to them on Saturday evening, what would be your message, and kind of like what would be the keys to causing an upset?
Look, I suppose just looking back to 2021 at the time, as I said, like, you know, we had a great start and we went 4 points up after 15-20 minutes. But I mean, if you went back and looked at it, Kerry came back into that game based on Cork turnovers. You know, Cork actually, even after we went that, Brian Hurley got a goal, we actually had 2, 3, or 4 more opportunities, I think, to really punish, because Kerry were playing so aggressively, defensively and everything else. There was space there on a number of occasions before half time where we had chances to put, you know, whether to create goal opportunities or point opportunities at the other end, and we gave the ball away and they punished us at the other end. Even at halftime, I remember saying to the group, I said, look, they've come back based on our mistakes. They turned it around and went ahead, but it's been based on our mistakes. We cut out those mistakes, and you know, we're well in this game. As it happened, we made a couple more just after half time. We were blown away, really, then in the end. And like I said, there's no better team than Kerry when their tail is up against Cork than to just put it home and drive it in on the scoreboard. So, yeah, look, I suppose the biggest message is that you can't afford those kind of mistakes against a team like Kerry. You can't afford to, you know, drop a ball short into a keeper's hand and then let them come down the pitch and punish you at the other end. Or try a kick pass across the pitch that gets intercepted, and they go and they turn around and punish you. So it's about limiting the amount of mistakes you make. It's going to, and in it, the simple things is the amount of effort it's going to take to defend and keep that Kerry team at bay. We know what they have with the two Cliffords and Sean O'Shea in particular, but you know, they have plenty of other quality as well. You know, Moynihan and Adrian Splann, if they're selected, will probably do a lot of the, you know, the donkey work for them, I guess. And then, you know, they have so many options behind that. I think there's some question marks about Dylan Ganey's fitness, but they have Paul Ganey, they have Killian Spillane, they have Killian Burke. They have a number of options to play that last forward role. So yeah, look, you can't give those guys momentum and a head of steam. We have to be, look, I know we're saying we need to keep one or two up, but in reality, they're going to pull 13, 14, 15 behind the ball and just have to work like animals to try and disrupt them from getting into their rhythm and getting into their, you know, getting their confidence up. Obviously, it's, you know, who's going to pick up Paddy Clifford as well is a big question. I think if, like, if we went back to that game in the early stages, Kevin O'Donovan was picking him up and was doing quite well. And then there was a few switches on their side, a change made. And I think Kevin went somewhere else and Paddy Clifford came right into that game then after that. So getting the matchup on Paddy Clifford, because we've had different people mark David Clifford over the last few years, you know. I think it was Amaris Shanley in the famous COVID game that time. I know it was pouring rain, but you know, he kept them scoreless, which is no mean feat. I think Kevin Flahey did it in Parky Ring. Sean Meehan did it in that game that we're talking about in 2021, kept them scoreless. So it hasn't always been David Clifford that's done the damage. You know, Paddy's done it, Killian Spillane has done it, Sean O'Shea has done it. So getting the matchups right, working their socks off and keeping mistakes to the minimum. I mean, those are the messages. There's no rocket science to any of it. The messages will be plain and simple. It's about working your socks off and executing the game plan and taking the chances then, as we said, when they do present themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to see it play out. So finally, John, from you, I'd going to push you for a prediction. I think the bookies have Kerry as 8-point favourites. So if you're a betting man, would you fancy Cork to get inside that mark? Would you even push for a win? I don't know, it's bit extreme, but what do you think the game's going to go on Saturday?
I don't know. It's just very hard to tell because even someone sent Dan, and I'd say you're familiar with it, with the stat around the recent games and the margin for error and where the 8 points comes into it. It's the average margin of defeat that Cork have had. But like I said, some of those have been 17, 18 and 20 point blowouts. And then on other occasions, like last year, we pushed them all the way to the brink and even pipped them in 2020. So you just don't know. Like if Cork can really rattle them and, you know, get the game plan moving, get the running game going, get Sean Powter into the game, get the two lads at midfield into the game, get, you know, Luke Fahey and Matty Taylor at wing back running at them. And if we can convert then at the other side with Chris Ogg, Conor Corbett, Conor Corbett's getting his first taste of this game. There's a little bit of expectation on his shoulders, which is, you know, difficult for a guy who's still very young. He's only 22. And this is, like I said, he's not played as many games as we'd have liked to see for Cork, but there's a bit of expectation on him alongside Brian Hurley. So look, everything has to go right for Cork to be competitive. It has to. If we're not on it, and if Kerry are on their game, then, you know, we know we'll be punished, and we'll be punished quite severely. So look, I'm going to back the lads to give a performance. You know, the last day out down there was tough for all of us to take. So there's a lot of the guys who are still there. And I'd be hopeful that they want to do everything to put that right. So a strong performance, be competitive. I don't see anyone really backing us to win the game. But if we can keep it to 4 or 5 points or less, I think it gives us something to build on going on to the more serious business. Be brilliant, absolutely brilliant. It'd be amazing if we could get a win. But look, I think most people are just going to back Kerry on this one and expect Kerry to win it. But we're hoping for a big performance. Look, we'd love to see it still be in doubt going into the closing stages, and that's what we're hoping for.
That's it. We go in hope in here. So, John, I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
No problem, Sean. Thank you.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. After that great chat between John Hayes and Sean Holland, who will be victorious in Killarney on Saturday? We'll have to wait to find out, but we'll be covering it all in next week's Southern Star, as always. But this week, the Southern Star is out already, and it's now time for us to take a quick look through what's in this week's edition. And as you may have guessed, there's plenty of build-up to this weekend's Munster semi-final. John Hayes, who we just heard from, has a great column where he says that the midfield must rise to the challenge for the Rebels to shake the kingdom. John's column is always well worth reading. There's some great insights into inter-county football in there, whether or not you are a Cork football fan. We also have a report ahead of the game from Sean Holland, who says that it's a tall order, but Cork are up for the fight. He's been speaking to John Cleary ahead of this weekend's game, and we hear from Cleary in this week's Southern Star. He also says on the front page of this week's Southern Star that the provincial structure is not working for Cork. It's his opinion that it is unsatisfactory, and that he is unsatisfied, I guess, with the fact that they're not sure whether they'll be in the Sam Maguire or not heading into a Munster semi-final. Plenty of inter-county coaches think that the championship should take place before the league. Obviously, with lots of GAA, there are some troubles with scheduling and trying to keep the balance between county and club there. So some good reading in there as well. We also have a report from cracking West Cork derby as Carbery Rangers edged out the Haven. They beat them 13-1. Ger McCarthy has a great report from that game. We have some other roundups from other games around the West Cork area as well. Tom Lyons has a great feature in this week's Southern Star where he looks back on Some of the good days the Rebels have enjoyed in Killarney. He's been travelling to watch Cork teams play since 1966, and he has plenty of good memories to share of wins in Fitzgerald Stadium. This weekend, the Munster Senior Hurling Championship also kicks off. We have coverage of that. Cork are away to Waterford, and Pat Ryan is keen to learn from the lessons of last year. We also hear from Shane Kingston, who was on last week's podcast, who says the focus is all on their first game against Waterford. That's on this Sunday at 4 p.m. We've got loads more in this week's Southern Star as well. We've got local camogie, local hurling, local football. There's a great photo gallery piece from Ross Carberry Ladies Football Club, who celebrated their medals night in style at the Celtic Ross Hotel back on April 12th. Emily Hegarty and co show that they're in the mix for Paris. They went to the World Cup one with the target of finding out where they stand ahead of next month's final, and they came home knowing they're right in the mix. So you can read more about that in this week's Star as well. Speaking of the Olympics and speaking of athletics, Phil Healy is also confirmed to be in the Ireland squad for the World Athletics Relay Championship. She'd be hoping to go to Paris this summer as well. We've got all the usual brilliant West Cork soccer coverage from Ger McCarthy. There's some under-15s news there. There's a report from Castletown Celtics, 5-0 win over Baltimore as they clinched the league title following their confirming their promotion in recent weeks as well. So they'll be playing in the West Cork League Premier Division next year. We've got some great road bowling and motorsport as well. So there's plenty to look out for in this week's Southern Star. That is in shops and online right now. You can subscribe online and get the Southern Star in your pocket, on your phone or on your laptop for less than €2 per week. It's a great time to sign up, as a lot of the sport, a lot of the GAA is really getting going now as we head into the summer. If you sign up for an annual subscription, you also get a free month included in the price. We'd like to thank our sponsors yet again, Access Credit Union. This podcast wouldn't be possible without them. We'll be back again next week, hopefully to celebrate a Cork win over Kerry. Thanks for listening.